Kate Ledger received an MFA in fiction from the University of Arizona. She worked for several years as the senior writer at Johns Hopkins Medical Institutions. Her articles have been published in Self, Health, and other national magazines. She lives in St. Paul, Minnesota, and her first novel is out. It's called Remedies. The Star Tribune described it as having complex characters, intense emotions, and well-structured narrative. And Kate Ledger is joining us on Real Good Words now. Hi, Kate. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. This is such a fascinating book for me because it really delves into all these areas that we have a hard time talking about, I think. Pain and grief and relationships. And at the heart of this relationship, Simon and Emily Bear have been dealing with a lot in their lives. I wonder if you could just kind of introduce us, give us an introduction to this couple.
Sure. Simon Bear is a physician with a private practice. It's a booming practice, and he's been named a top doc in Baltimore Magazine, and his patients adore him, and he's great with them. And his wife, Emily, is a PR mogul with a premier firm, and they seem to be a very successful couple, but they've never dealt with a tragedy in their past. They have, 15 years earlier, they lost a son who was an infant, and Simon is still blaming himself for not having noticed that the baby was ill in time. And Emily has forced the family to move on from the tragedy. So in all these years, they've never discussed their grief, and they've never dealt with it. And it's still simmering there under the surface, and it's there in everything that they're, in all of their interactions now. It's a piece of how they get along and how they relate. And they have a 13-year-old daughter who is still suffering, too, with them, even though she was not yet born when the first child died.
Are their careers alike in any ways, would you say?
I think that their careers are similar in that they're outwardly focused. Simon is sort of bent on nurturing and helping. He's a big proponent of helping. He wants to bring his patients the best that's available and do anything that he can, even if it's a sort of extreme measure or an untested treatment to make them better. And he's really committed to listening to them. And Emily is a troubleshooter for a PR firm, and she's, you know, her expertise is fixing the mistakes of the CEOs and restoring people's reputations. So they're very focused on making things better for other people, which makes a sharp contrast to what they're unable to handle at home in their interpersonal life.
I wonder if we can talk a little about this idea of pain when it relates to Dr. Bear. You said he was a top doc. He's been voted that, and people do love him. Tell us more about that, because there's part of that that's really good, but as we read the story, I just was fascinated by this idea of, is he doing that for the right reasons, or where are these motives coming from to want to rid people of pain? Is it, you know, is it for outward appearances, or is it to truly help these people?
Well, I think Simon is a complex character, and he has established a sort of a career motivation for himself that he wants to help and he wants to make a difference. At the heart of that, and it comes to that question that we all face, what is at the heart of all altruism? Maybe a little bit that people will love us more for it or respect us more. He comes from a family that has never respected him or noticed him or embraced him. And in truth, he does have the need to be recognized and appreciated. And so there are elements of that in his desire to help. You know, at the same time, he's someone who's willing to listen. And, you know, I think that there are probably physicians who would not see that as a way to make their practice better or to make themselves more useful.
You have a background writing in medical field. Did you want to just get at these complex issues?
I can tell you about how the kernel of the story came about for me. I had written for years about medicine and about physicians and about new treatments and about scientists coming up with new treatments. And I met a physician who had come across and developed his own cure for post-operative pain in patients' knees. And he had developed the treatment himself, and he was giving it to his patients, and his patients whom I met were ecstatic. They loved him. And at the same time, he noted the nerve that he was cutting in their knees. This was a surgical treatment that he had developed. The very nerve that he was cutting did not appear in any textbook, and it was not in any anatomy book. And he said, I don't know why. Nobody's recognized it, but I observed it, and it's there, and it really makes a difference for patients. And he wasn't the only one I had met who had taken that kind of stance. I met a physician who was incorporating homeopathy into a very traditional practice. And homeopathic treatments, the remedies used in homeopathy, are diluted beyond the point that there could even be a single molecule of the drug in the solution. And the thinking is that the, you know, energy has transferred from the drug to the solution. The philosophy is less is more. And the other physicians had challenged him and said, how is it possible, you know, your patients, you claim that your patients are getting better, but that doesn't seem possible, and very likely what's happening is spontaneous remission. And what his response was to me, he said, I specialize in spontaneous remission. And so I was really taken with these people who really believed that they had stumbled across something that was helping, that ran contrary to what established knowledge was. And I began to explore that, but I was sort of really interested in what would be underneath that, what would be the emotional makeup of a character. And I, you know, began to draw from other places in my life and other people that I had met to establish what kind of person would come up with that. And eventually, it wasn't just a story about medicine and treating pain. It was really about, you know, interpersonal healing and emotional pain, and really evolved into the story of a family. I wove in a lot of the things that I had encountered over the years in writing about medicine and a lot of the things that had intrigued me. And in particular, chronic pain was a very interesting issue. Chronic pain in particular doesn't necessarily have a known source. It can be, you know, can last for a very long time. Very often patients go from physician to physician and don't find anything that can help them. And so it turns out to be a very multi-layered, complex situation with not a direct, you know, without a direct solution. And I think very, you know, from what I understood, very challenging for physicians to deal with. And I, you know, what I hoped to address is that it's hard to go straight by the book in these situations, that sometimes these situations are so complex that even a treatment that seems fantastic might have healing properties to it.
That's Kate Ledger. We're talking about her novel. It's called Remedies. Kate, I don't want to give away too much, but I feel like for these characters, for Emily and for Simon, they each have a person that comes into their life that kind of is a catalyst for some change for them. And without giving away too much of the storyline, will you tell us about those characters? The former boyfriend of Emily, and then the new young nurse seems to make a big change in Simon's life in some ways.
Right. So Emily, by chance, encounters, not entirely by chance because he has sought her out, but she bumps into her lover from her past. And this is somebody that she had rejected at a time in her life when she was sort of focused on being upwardly mobile and succeeding and achieving some kind of, some standard of success that matched what her parents had set out for her. And she went on to marry Simon and have an existence that made a lot more sense to her. And then Will from her past reappears, and she's opened up again, and she realizes from encountering him that she hasn't felt anything for a long time Will is a big proponent of talking and of processing the relationship and being analytical about the things that you do and how you, what you're saying without saying it, which is sort of the underlying current with her in her marriage. They're speaking to each other without ever using words. All of their interactions are loaded with meaning, but they never quite articulate what they're trying to say. And Will reawakens her and makes her feel, A, that there's a way out and that there's more to life that she's just not opened herself up to, and that through a relationship with her daughter, ultimately, she might have the opportunity to recapture what she's lost all this time. And for Simon at the same time hires a new nurse that he's absolutely thrilled about bringing into his practice because she's new blood and he has this opportunity to mentor, and he's very excited about his relationship with her as a person who can, you know, show the ropes. And she turns out to be somebody who goes by the book. She's just graduated from nursing school and she has a lot of information that she's gained. And she, what surprises Simon is that she's in immediate conflict with how he sees his practice and how he sees his role, because he's used to thinking outside the box and she's pretty much straight arrow and is shocked and appalled by some of the things that he's doing.
You know, one of the things that I also enjoyed about this book that really described to me this relationship was this house that they live in that has connected to it, Simon's doctor's office, because it seemed like, in my mind, it was just such a beautiful old house that was very, very elegant, but didn't have a lot of home to it because of the way they had chosen to deal with the, you know, losing a child and the grief in their lives. But can you kind of describe this house that you created, or is it based on a house that you know? Or,
you know, it's funny, while I was writing it at the very beginning, the book took me a very long time to write. It was written over the course of 10 years, but when I started writing it, I was living in Baltimore, and there was a day that I actually drove around and looked for a house that would possibly be the house. Not because I wanted to situate it in any real place, but I just wanted to feel part of that neighborhood. And, you know, and I couldn't find a house that could quite accommodate a medical practice. So it's a little bit of a creation and a little bit of a neighborhood. But their house is a beautiful estate that has one wing of it that's been appropriated for Simon's medical practice. And it's sort of on the basement level, and there, you know, there's several, he has several medical suites. And it was grandfathered in through some of the old technicalities in the real estate technicalities. And so he had the opportunity to build a practice there. But what's very important, I think, about that house is, or what that their living situation is, that the medical suite is separated just by one mahogany door from the rest of the house. And it took me a while to sort of come to this, in a sense, but that I wanted this conflict to be right there. And this is somebody who's diverted his attention from his family and projected all of this nurturing onto his patients when he ought to be focusing some of that nurturing at home. And yet it's, you know, this door makes all the difference. And at the same time, it's a door that makes, you know, the practice constantly accessible to home, so that what he does, you know, the rest of the family can access his clinic, and what he does in the clinic, actually, at a certain point, he believes he's going to get in. He's a big hobby guy. He's got a lot of hobbies, and one of the things he gets into is winemaking, and the winemaking is something that's constantly present and even sort of comes up through the floor of the house at a certain point in the book. So there's just this tension of almost separation, but non-separation of these two worlds.
And it was so interesting to me how, you know, how close this medical practice was and how it just seemed like Simon so wanted his wife and daughter to be proud of what he did, but that it was almost as if they didn't know that clinic was there, kind of, that it was right beyond there where they were living.
they don't really participate, but they're there, they're present. They know when he's downstairs, they know when he's coming upstairs through the house, and it's a short distance, you know, through their kitchen and through their basement into their into the medical clinic. So it's in the same, this may be a similar way that the child who has died is always present. His medical practice has that same kind of ghostly presence that's constant in their lives.
I was glad to hear about that it took you a while to write this novel, because that gives me it gives me some hope personally, because when I hear people say, oh, I did this in 6 months, or oh, you know, but what was that process like for you? Was it grueling? Was it, you know, just the nature of what was happening in your life, or anything you want to share with us about the writing process?
Yeah, it was really, I would have to say it was long and very stressful. And, you know, there were just moments of, you know, incredible anxiety and, you know, am I really mostly worrying about myself? Am I ever going to finish? Am I ever going to reach the end?
Well, then I take back what I said then about being glad.
You should, like, I feel like I've suffered plenty. I paid my dues. But at the same time, you know, it covered a 10-year span in my life. And when I began the book, I was dating the man who became my husband, who's my husband now, and I did not have children. And in the course of writing the book, I had a daughter, and then I had twin sons. And I really got a much deeper appreciation for life on a whole different level than when I started out the book. And I think that it's over that 10 years, whatever suffering was necessary, there was also a lot of personal growth that had to happen at the same time that I think made it a richer book ultimately.
The book, again, is called Remedies by Kate Ledger. There's lots of information at her website. It's kateledger.com. Kate, I really enjoyed it, and it was great talking with you today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it too.